Don't let anyone disqualify you from the prize, deprive you of spiritual reward. God says that to us. You see, if we live the Christian life by dependence and trust in Christ alone and His Word working in our hearts, what will manifest will bring about eternal reward.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone message from Alan from New Jersey. He says, I just came across your broadcast by accident on Monday. It is a tremendous help, and I am redirecting my life. I'm so thankful for the teaching and just can't get enough of it. Well, Alan, praise the Lord that you were able to come across the broadcast and hear the Word of God, and it's such a blessing to hear how God is using His Word, and so thank you for sharing that with us.
Greg, today you hit upon a very touchy subject, and that subject has to do with church worship.
Yes, it does, Dave, because the passage we're looking at has to do with God instructing us not to be defrauded of our prize through those who would lead us along through emotionalism, where we feel as though we're growing in Christ, but we're really just being emotionally pepped up. We're not growing at all. So what do I mean? Turn with us to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 18 and 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He says, therefore, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, that's weights, and the sin that so easily entangles us, that's unbelief in the context of Hebrews, and let us what? Run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's the Christian life. It's trusting Jesus. He lays it before us through His Word, what we're to do. He puts it out there for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Christian life is like a race. It's shared that way because you have to be disciplined. You got to think about it. You can't just walk along living your life. Christian life is a race, and there's a goal. And we know that because of Christ that we've been saved. But in that, we're being sanctified right now. We're being made more like Jesus, and we're on our way to glory. And within that, it's likened to a race that we can get distracted. We can be weighed down. We can be pulled off of, or, as we'll see, disqualified, or lose our prize. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul talks about he doesn't want to be disqualified. He uses the idea of an athletic contest, of being disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Everybody runs. If you're in the race, the whole, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do that to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, this is his own personal illustration. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself might be disqualified. So we can be disqualified through our own failures and sin. God's faithful. He forgives us, right? But Paul was talking about as someone who was preaching and leading in that context. But the reality is, we can be defrauded. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, Christ is the cornerstone and we are built upon Him. And how are we built up? Jesus gave the illustration in Matthew chapter 7 about the house built on the rock. He says, he who hears my words and does them is like someone who built his house on the rock. And the storms came or anything and it didn't fall down, right? He who hears my words and doesn't do them is like one who built on the sand. Hey, they're still building. But the storms came and everything came and it knocked that house down and great was its fall. It has to do with our response to the Word of God. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There are rewards and lack of rewards. What we do in this life as we trust Jesus is important. There's great reward in the context of faith. all these difficulties we're going through, is God not so unjust as to reward us? When we trust him, of course he's just. He's going to reward us. Hebrews chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, that's speaking of Paul, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Now, how did he lay it? The word of God. He's an apostle. He says here, and another is building upon it. He says, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hey, that's how we're saved. We're being built on him, right? Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it's to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet is through fire. If you allow yourself to be built up in your Christian faith through things that are not of Christ and his word, you're going to suffer loss. If your Christian walk, as we will see, is based on being built up through emotion and experience, you're going to suffer loss. Rather than being built up through God's word, being built upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, all in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, I'll read this for you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You go, oh, yikes. I thought my sins were obliterated. Yes, they were. Praise the Lord. No more dealing with sin. But what we do now is going to be judged for rewards or lack of rewards. It's eternal rewards. That means they last forever. And if you lose them, that means you lose them forever. So what you could be defrauded of is pretty serious. It's not simply your computer being taken over by a hacker in India. It's much worse than that. It's eternal to be defrauded. So don't let anyone disqualify you from the prize. Deprive you of spiritual reward. Eliminate you from the race. Sidetrack you from the good fight of faith. Don't let it happen, Paul says, and God says that to us. You see, if we live the Christian life by dependence and trust in Christ alone and his word working in our hearts, what will manifest will bring about an eternal reward. Right? We fail. We confess our sin. We fail. No, we know that. But if we trust in other things so subtly other than Christ, such as experience, as we'll see today, religious experience, my view of Christ becomes corrupted and I unite myself with those who have a corrupted view of him, and then I lose reward. Take a look at 2 John. This is exactly what's being said in 2 John. John and the apostles brought forth an accomplished building of believers through the word. They were building them up with the word of God. They accomplished that. But yet there were bad guys coming with a different picture of Christ, which was wrong. And they were saying, if you unite to that, you're going to lose your reward and what we accomplished. 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those are the ripoff artists, spiritual ripoff artists. He says here, to the world, who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is deceiver and antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished. That's through the word being built up. But that you receive a full reward. Watch out. And he goes on to say, hey, you know, if you give a greeting even to these guys that have the wrong view of Christ, then you share in their sins. You can lose your reward. You can be ripped off eternally. Not many people saying, man, watch out for these eternal ripoff artists. Well, they're definitely out there, as we're going to see. And we're going to see from our passage how they do it. So then, just like a judge who disqualifies someone who turns the wrong way in the race, when you follow these people, you are robbed of your eternal rewards and the temporal peace and joy that comes with it. Faith shipwrecked. And God does not want this to happen to us. He loves us. That's why he's warning us. So then what's the danger of being defrauded? Obviously, that we would lose our reward. See to it that no one defrauds you from the prize. Now, it actually, here, it's like we saw earlier, this is in a singular sense, and it's speaking of a person. See to it, singular, this person It's not a bunch of people. It comes in people who lead you spiritually wrongly, away from the Word of God. See to it that they do not defraud you of the prize. It's individuals, not systems. Now, they bring systems, but it's individuals you've got to watch out for. And we're going to see in our passage what you need to watch out for. It's going to show us how they're going to do it. You know, as I mentioned, these frauds on the internet, you know, you can see videos where they go, here's how they do it. They come here, they call you, they lie about this, and they do this, and they're going to show you how the bad guys do it, how they would defraud you. So then, in our passage, he says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. The implication was in this statement that maybe they had kind of fallen into it a little bit. Maybe they had bought into it. Stop letting them defraud you. That's kind of what this is saying. But for us, don't let it start. And if it has started, stop it, right? Get right with the Lord. Lord is so gracious. He's so gracious. Turn to Him and get right with Him. Keep confessing sin. We're the confessors of sin. We fail, but we get convicted. We confess, right? So how do they do it? What is the means of their deception? Well, we're going to see they do it through a deceitful, false, mystical, religious journey based on false teachers delighting in their faux humility and their flesh-driven religious experience rather than growing in Jesus. Wow, I just described a bunch of churches, didn't I? Sadly, that's what happens. We got to watch out. We could get taken. We could. If anything like this ever happens here, you run out of here. You look at the Word of God and you obey God and you get out of there. So we're going to see. Don't let anyone defraud you. Test everything you hear by the Word of God. So here, notice he says, back in our passage, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. And then notice he's going to say two things. By delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels. We're going to talk about that. What's he talking about? Two things here. Two interrelated areas. Interrelated. And it's one person, in a sense, or a false teacher doing this. A person. This context. And so the first one area is by delighting in self-abasement. You go, what's that? It's a self-abasement. Is that the bottom floor of my house? The self-abasement? No, it's not. The reality, by delighting, it says here, by delighting in self-abasement, don't let them rob you. Now, there are those who will attempt to delude you with persuasive arguments, to take you captive. Now, this term, self-abasement, means lowliness, literally humility of mind. Two words, humility and mind put together. Humility of mind. It's sometimes translated humility. But here it's in a negative context because of the word delighting. Delighting in humility. Obviously in context, it's a spiritual humility, a self-lowering. These are actually spiritual perverts. In the context, it's a false humility. It's a hypocrisy, and they take delight in it. They take delight in appearing humble. So humble in Jesus. That's that pastor so humble. He's such a wonderfully humble man. Or that person so humble. And they delight in that false humility. Now, certainly we need to be humble. Nothing wrong with humility in Christ. But this is a false humility that they internally delight in. They delight in what it brings them. People look up to them because they're so humble in the Lord. Whatever it might be. He says, first of all, they will defraud you of their prize in the context of delighting in self-humility and in humbling themselves. They take pride or perverse delight in their faux spiritual humility. That's one way you can spot them. Think about it. It's so evil. They portray themselves to be humble and godly. They portray that, but yet on the inside, they get joy from that. It's the opposite. That's pride. That's totally pride. It's the very opposite. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. We see this with the Pharisees in a different way, but we see it with them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus says, and when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they, notice this, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, in the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly they have their reward in full. These bad guys love you seeing their humility. They delight in you seeing how humble they are. They delight in that. Very bad, right? Very bad. These phony spiritual hypocrites take people captive by putting on a show. Now you say, how could we be robbed of our prize? We understand it's not going to happen. Well, obviously it could happen or we wouldn't be told don't let it happen. First of all, if God is telling us not to let it happen, then that means it could happen. And so we need to be on guard, right? We could be taken because we want to obey the Lord. We want to obey him. We see someone seem spiritual. We go, wow, I want to be like that. You know, we could be sucked into following the bad guys and listening to what they have to say, spiritually speaking. Oh, we saw this back in Vancouver, didn't we? We saw it. That false, phony humility that draws the naive to follow those people. Very sad. So spiritual people hear phony spiritual people put an unsaid temptation upon true believers to be like them because they appear so holy and they appear so humble. An unsaid pressure. Don't let it happen. Don't let that happen. Never let that happen in any context where you have this unsaid pressure to try and be like someone. We're to be like Christ. Yes, we're to follow those who follow Christ, but those who really follow Christ are recognizing their failures. They're trusting Christ. They're abiding in him. It's all about Jesus. They're not delighting in phony humility. So then, stop or do not let anyone rob you of your prize, your eternal prize, through false spiritual humility. That's the gateway that you're going to get taken. That's the gateway. The gateway is their phony spiritualism, their phony humbleness that they delight in. Watch out. And then the second iterative thing has to do with that. It has to do with actually worship. Worship, which is experience, by the way. It can be an experience. We'll see. He says here, and the worship of angels. He says here, when we know from Scripture that is absolutely forbidden. We know Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan to have him bow down and worship, he said, you worship God only, right? We see John in Revelation, the angel, you know, he began to bow down when he saw him. It was so amazing. He said, don't do that. Worship God. We worship God alone. But evidently, back in Paul's day, back in this day, there are bogus men who were bringing forth this mystical diversion, and it was that you could get to a higher spiritual plane through these angels, in a sense, worshiping them. So they were so spiritual, and how do you get there? Well, this is how we do it. Well, we're not going to fall prey to that right now. We're not worshiping angels. We're not like the evil cults, like what's-his-name who got the gold plates with the angel Moroni, right? That's bogus, right? Or the JWs who worship Jesus, but they really call Michael the archangel. That's baloney, right? But this is believers being tempted to be more spiritual through certain worship things. Now, we know that is bogus worship. Worshiping, that's bogus worship, right? It's wrong. They delight in their false humility, which leads to bogus worship. It leads to bogus, false worship, a false experience of worshiping God. You're not worshiping God through worshiping angels. You're worshiping demons. Okay? It's false. So notice, they delight in self-abasement and the worship of angels. But notice, this is what's really key. They're further described. This helps us to not say, there's no angel worship here, no big deal. Look at this next statement. It's really important. He describes the delighter this way. Taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause, by his fleshly mind. That's what's going on. These are people who delight in false humility, evil worship, based on visions they've stepped into, in a sense. That's the context. Inflated without cause by their fleshly minds. He's talking about inflated, fake spiritual experiences in the context of pointing people to worship, a false worship. That's the context. So then, we have a problem these days with worship in the church. It's completely experience-driven. Have you noticed that lately? And it ultimately pulls us away from Christ because the experience becomes more important than Christ. I know people who will not go to biblical churches because they like the experience of the worship music. How terrible is that? You see, when we delight in our experience, we are no longer holding fast to Jesus, being built up in his word and relying on him, and thus will be robbed by the prize. And people will lead you to delight in your experience. There are certain charismatic churches where people say, I've got a vision, I've heard this from God, and this and that. They all this experience, all inflated, their fleshly minds. And people are following them, and they're getting robbed. They're getting robbed eternally because they're not depending on Christ through his word to grow them. Yes, they sprinkle a little word here and there, but it's not being proclaimed that they'd be presented complete. Paul is speaking about a flesh-driven religious experience puffed up in the mind. People say, I've had this experience, I've seen this stuff, whatever it is. They take their stand. It makes them seem super spiritual. They're on a higher plane. They've experienced, wow, what the Lord has done in this life. They appear much, but it's not me. It's that fake humility, right? But these Christians and those who are immature think they're missing out on stuff, and they get caught up in this. They think they're missing out. But the reality is, if they partake with these bad guys, they're going to miss out. They're going to get robbed spiritually. There are some genuinely naive people who get caught up in things, and they get taught in a way to think that their feelings are, their experiences are visions and things. You hear people, they say, well, I felt like the Lord was telling me this, you know. It's one thing to think God's maybe prompting you. It's another thing to think God is speaking to me and telling me something. Now, I've been conditioned through these bad guys to start trusting my feelings, trusting what I feel rather than the Word of God. It's so subtle. It's so dangerous. So then, many churches these days are steeped in an experienced-oriented way to follow Jesus. 80% experience, 10% Jesus talk, 10% stories. You know, you see that these days. Experience-oriented, whether it's charismatics who have a vision or a word inflated with their fleshly minds, some maybe being sincere, having had bad teaching, you know, feeling that their thoughts are that way. Worship these days in evangelical churches and some Baptist churches now is steeped in emotionalism. It may not be the worship of angels, but it's the worship of self and self's view of God. It's just as bad. Take, for instance, the Bethel-type, Hillsong-type music designed to pull you emotionally. People that write it, they say that's what they do. They're designed to do that. Look at them. The dark sanctuary. Dark, wait a second. It's not going to be dark in heaven. The dark sanctuary and the music designed to pull your emotions, the stages, the lights, the rock bands, the superior quality of music. Okay? But all designed to emotionally and experientially pull you away from Christ. To be dependent on that ministry, those people, where they're not feeding you. And as I mentioned, I know people who won't go to biblical churches because, frankly, it's kind of boring. The worship's kind of boring. Well, it's boring because they've been sucked into an experience-oriented way to follow Jesus. And they are being robbed. You think you're worshiping the Lord, you're really filling your flesh. You think you're growing closer through music? It's not going to happen. We grow through the Word of God and the God of the Word. God causes the growth. We'll see that in our passage later on. It's God that causes the growth, and He does it through His Word. You see, we know from 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it is the Word that does its work in us. We know from 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we grow in respect to salvation through the pure milk of the Word. We know that it is all Scripture inspired by God that is profitable, that makes us adequate for every good work. Therefore, preach the Word, Paul would tell Timothy. But you have bad guys in evangelical churches being overrun by these guys, and like I said, some Baptist churches happening around here, who seem so humble and so spiritual. But what they're doing is the opposite. They're allowing this to happen.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Wow, Greg, with such an instructive passage, why do churches worship so differently?
Well, Dave, as we've begun to see, it goes way beyond worship. We have bad guys out there who are using emotionalism to trick people into thinking that they're following Jesus and growing in him when they're truly not. They're not being built up at all. Their feelings are what are driving them rather than the truth of God. And it's an absolute shame. I just pray that people will listen to these messages, especially tomorrow's message, and will learn from it, and that no believer listening would be defrauded of their prize.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.